Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. Which means you have your opportunity to go to our X page, 96.5 The Fan. The Fan 96.5, I think, is the official name of it. We put up the question today, who do you want to see hit for this Royals lineup at third in the position? Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, Jack Caglione. Right now, Bobby Witt Jr., 30.3%. Michael Garcia, 40.1%. And Jack Caglione, 29.6%.
Okay, yeah.
And then four responses of all of them saying the same thing. It doesn't really matter. This team is so lost right now.
Yeah, and there is something to be said for that. I mean, that's like Binkley said nobody, and obviously we laughed at all of that. But I understand what he's talking about, you know. I think that's where...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know, this kind of team is right now. It doesn't really matter who hits third, first, second, seventh. Nobody's getting the job done.
Yeah, it's been struggling, especially at home. I think we need to burn sage. I think we need to, you know, do something around those parts. But, yeah, you can go there. Vote on that question. Who do you want to see hit third? Because that was a big popular, you know, sort of thing yesterday when it came to we were talking about Garcia and all these sort of things. Binkley says, Binkley, last one, who do you want to see hit third in this lineup for the Royals?
Nobody.
Yeah. The guy's down bad.
That game last night really pissed me off, to be honest with you.
Yeah, thanks for being honest, Jay. So
he's right.
I mean, it was, man. Like, you're watching it, you're like, okay. Because, like, what, two out, home run, two run shot by that Jansen guy, Rex Becks, no gloves to the yard, just absolute tank shot.
Right.
Royals first hard hit of the game, ground rule double, cost him a run.
Yeah.
Second, third, Bobby Witt Jr.'s up, 105 mile an hour line drive to left field. At that point, I was like, all right, let's turn the diffuser on, shut the blinds, turn the game on the bed, just relax. Because at that point, just you've seen your fate. It goes back to, you know, those times watching the Chiefs play when it was in the playoffs and it goes off of Revis's face and Mariota catches it. I'm like, I know how this ends.
Mm-hmm.
Butt fumble to Andrew Luck, goes in for the end zone. I know how this game ends. Pittsburgh Steelers, field goals, field goals, field goals. We're not winning this game, are we? We're not. Okay. All right. I don't know what to expect at this point with this offense at home. But again, Matt Cotrero at 9 o'clock here on Fesco and Dusty. But you found an article that says what the Chiefs' biggest luxury is.
Yeah, and they said Kareem Hunt is their biggest luxury this year. And I'm thinking to myself, God, I don't know that Kareem Hunt is necessarily a luxury for this team. This isn't 2018, right? Where the guy's coming out of the backfield and catching passes and doing that great wheel route against New England and going, wow, look at Kareem Hunt. That's a luxury, right?
Got him off the couch last season.
Yeah, exactly. like that's what I'm saying. Like, Kareem Hunt was sitting around, you know, scratching his ass, eating, you know, food and going, yeah, sure, what the hell? I'll go play for the Chiefs. Might as well. Well, right, I got nothing else going on right now. How'd you like to play for the Indians? I don't know. At least you could have said you were from the Yankees, and he did. The Chiefs are the Yankees, and he went and played, and, you know, here he comes, and he's playing. I don't find him to be a luxury, per se, this year. And so I asked you guys, what do you think the biggest luxury is right now for the Chiefs? And for me, I think it's pretty simple. It's the wide receiver room. I do feel like it's a luxury because we have not had a wide receiver room this deep, guys. I don't know since when. Maybe never in this organization. I know Tyreek Hill and his production clouds the judgment of a lot of people when they analyze the entire position. But from one to five, six on this roster, however many wide receivers they're going to keep, they got some legitimate depth, and it's not faux depth either. It's real depth that they have out there. Rice, Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, those are your four top wide receivers right now. Who wouldn't want those four guys on their team as a collection of wide receivers? So I think right now, when I'm talking about luxury for the Chiefs, they kind of got a luxury at that wide receiver position.
Yeah, it's the best they've had since 2018. I mean, 2018, they had Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Chris Conley was good, DeMarcus Robinson was good for
both
his
10-year players, dude.
Yeah,
seriously, oh, Conley and Robinson both been in the league a decade.
Plus, you had Travis Kelce, which I don't know how much you want to consider him part of the receiving core, but in 2018, Tyreek Hill had 1,400 yards, Travis Kelce had 1,300 yards, Chris Conley only had 160, or wait, no, Chris Conley had 354, DeMarcus Robinson 288, so they didn't really need really any of those other guys. But Sammy Watkins had 519 yards, and he only played in 9 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, could have had 1,000 yards there if you add in some more games played or have a couple of explosive games. But he had Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. And at the time, Travis Kelce was still peak Travis. I mean, 1,300, 10 touchdowns, averaging 13 yards a catch. That's something that you had at the time. That was what Mahomes was, Mahomes, right? Mm-hmm. That's when we saw the downfield passing. That's when he threw for 50 and 5,000. That was his first year as a starter. That's the best that receiving room has ever been, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. But now you do have a receiver room that I think is maybe deeper or bigger than it's ever been because of the different styles you have, right? We talked about Rashee Rice being the over-the-middle, big-body guy that's going to be the yak guy, going to be probably is going to be wide receiver one. Then you've kind of got two guys that are a mirror image of themselves, just one is older than the other, and Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, where it's like, hey, what you can't do anymore, Hollywood, Xavier's going to do, and what you both do so well, we'll just run those two. Then you throw in a veteran like Juju. You throw in a rookie like Royals.
Royals, too. You know? I totally forgot about him.
Yeah, and then, the guy we talked about.
Pants got tight over there, didn't they? Yeah, the smile on this dude's face talking about a fifth-round, fourth-round draft pick.
That earphone went. Rashee Rice reincarnated.
That earphone went.
Yeah, it really did. That earphone popped, baby.
And then, not to even mention, then you have the savvy vet in Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we're going to see him thrive, is not in the role of 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns, but in the role of, like, I can't control this chaos out here. We're now just going to let Travis Kelce have the 7-yard, catch and go down. That's fine. And then here comes your luxury item of Kareem Hunt. Go get the 3 yards. You keep the chains moving. You keep the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hand. And the more he sees, the more he can develop. And all of a sudden, that Worthy route goes deep. The Hollywood Brown does a deep slant over the middle. Rashee Rice is then all of a sudden tearing up the middle of the field. So, yeah, this receiver depth is going to be absolutely insane this year if it can stay healthy. And that's obviously the biggest thing.
You mentioned clearing everybody out and then Travis being open. That's why I think Travis is going to have a big year. Like I was telling you, my friend came over last night. We were talking about the Chiefs. Like, I don't know. What do you think? I'm like, I think it's going to be senior year. And my friend is like peaked in high school guy, Jim, and talks about the glory days in high school all the time, right? And so I would say it's senior year, man. You know how it was for your senior year in high school, right? That's what it's going to be like for Travis and for Patrick this year. It's Travis's senior year. So I think they're going to have a lot of fun doing that. The only thing I need out of Kareem Hunt, quite frankly, guys, this year is on 2nd-and-1 and 3rd-and-1 to get me 2 yards. That's all I need out of Kareem Hunt. Give me somebody consistent that I know can pick up 1 or 2 yards when it's 3rd-and-short or 2nd-and-short, because that's been the Achilles heel of this Kansas City Chiefs offense over the last Andy Reid era, is not being able to pick up 2nd-and-short and 3rd-and-short. I'd rather have 3rd-and-17 than 3rd-and-1 for this ball club right now. And until Kareem Hunt can prove that they can do that, hey, it's like the Royals hitting with runners in scoring position. Until you do it, you can't. And the Chiefs, man, their Achilles heel is that 2nd-and-short, 3rd-and-short situations.
Or Pacheco, prove it too. Maybe he could be the guy. It doesn't have to be Kareem Hunt. Maybe it's Breshard Smith with his 4.3, 4.4 speed, whatever it is. Yeah, I think wide receiver depth, though, is a great answer. I don't think there's been a time where the Chiefs have had this many options. Yeah, as Dusty mentioned, yeah, sure, the cream of the crop up at the top, maybe right, Kelce and Hill, but I'd rather have depth and versatility, which is what this group's going to have in droves. For me, I think you guys both chose really well. For me, I'll go corner depth on the other side there, because I think they've got 6 options where I don't really go at any of them like, oh, he's barbecue chicken. Oh, he's going to be burnt toast this tonight. Mm. Because you look at it, you've got Trip McDuffie. We know what he is. They got Christian Fulton from the Chargers. They have Jalen Watson. They've got Noah
Williams.
That
could be a sneaky good pick. I mean, that may be one we look back on and go, man, they signed that guy off the Chargers roster. Nobody thought anything about him. I didn't even remember him until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
But those are seemingly the guys that make the big difference in this Brett Veach era. You know, the Mike Pinnells. You're like, where would we have been without Mike Pinnell for that first Super Bowl or
Drew
whatever?
Tranquil.
Like, yeah. I mean, there's so many just randos that you're not thinking about. And that's the makings of a good team. You know.
Yeah. And that's a 6'6" corner who's played out of position in L.A. I was about to say San Diego last season. And he's going to be out where he should be. You've got Noah Williams, who they just drafted. And then I haven't even mentioned Joshua Williams or Nazi Johnson.
That's or Joshua Uche.
Well, we never mentioned him.
That's six guys right there. Cornerback room struggled to get four.
Yeah,
that's and a most lot. Of them don't. Yeah, six dudes that I don't feel terrible about having out there.
Who's yours, Dusty?
I think it's Chris Jones.
Okay.
And, I mean, the way the game's played this day is more so, I believe, up the middle with the running back game and the quarterbacks that can run the ball. Like, I love the matchup of Chris Jones versus Josh Allen. I like the matchup of Chris Jones with Lamar Jackson playing against you because he can't just drop back and then go right up the middle when everybody separates. He forces people to go outside. He makes people around him better. I think we've got about one, maybe two more really good years of Chris Jones. And then after that, that's going to be a huge hole to fill. That I know the future doesn't always seem fun to think about, but when you look at the future that is coming,
yep.
That maybe is without Travis Kelce, hopefully you can find, you know, someone that is half to three-fourths of what the production was of his career in Kansas City. That'd be a win for sure. But you look at Chris Jones, man, and there's a lot of things that don't happen because of what he does in the middle of the trenches. And without him, I think, I don't know what this team is without a solid defensive tackle.
I hate to be the person who has to replace Kelce and who has to replace Mahomes and who has to replace Chris Jones. I look at that and I go, they're probably the three most irreplaceable players of this era. And I'm talking both sides of the parking lot. Like, I think Salvi's to that point now where everybody likes Freddie Fermin. You've got some younger kids coming up at the minor league level at the catcher position. I think it'd be okay. People aren't going to have that, oh, he's not Salvi type of attitude when the new guy comes up. But whoever replaces Mahomes, whoever replaces Kelce, whoever replaces Chris Jones, they're always going to be compared to those guys. And they're never going to have an opportunity to be who they are because we're all going to go, Mahomes wouldn't have done that. Kelce wouldn't have done that. Yep. Jones wouldn't have done that. I would not want to be the next guy to have to replace one of those three in Kansas City sports. I think they're the three hardest, you know, people on the field to replace. And then, you know, sorry, Matt, you're going to have to replace Andy at some point and nobody's going to like you. But that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah, I mean, just you think about what Chris Jones does to offensive lines
yeah.
and what he does for George Karlaftis, what, you know, Chuck Aminihue can be with Chris Jones as well. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, the wide receiver room, the cornerback depth, and who's like that, what we say yesterday, the camp battle, right? Who's going to be who's going to be CB2?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's going to go take it? And that's a good problem to have, I think, because you have a couple of names that could be that. Plus, you have young safeties in Cooks and Hicks. By the way, one's a free, one's a strong. And, you know, then you add Chris Jones, that defensive line, plus you add the wide receiver room. Maybe this is the most balanced Chiefs team that we've ever seen in this dynasty. We'll see. 2018 was a big year offensively for Mahomes. Now he's got a big wide receiver room to maybe make those numbers even bigger. But the other side we come up to, we get to an all-century team and some audio of why somebody thinks Aaron Rodgers should be in there over Patrick Mahomes. Rings, I think, is one reason why you would go with 15 over 12. Plus, we get into one word with Mac Morey on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Mac got into our ears and said we need to get to the Twitter page, because today is Wednesday and we do our Fesco and Dusty poll question, which we asked on the Fan 965, who should hit third in this Royals lineup, Bobby Witt Jr., Michael Garcia, or Jack Caglione? 44% say Michael Garcia should stay put. 28% say Bobby Witt Jr., 27% say Jack Caglione. So,
yeah.
The people want, the people get, and the people like, as Michael Garcia in a struggling offensive lineup at home is still wanting to be hit third
right.
by a majority of the people as of now at 7:18 in the morning. So we'll revisit that again at 8 at the top of the hour as we do every Wednesday. But there was audio yesterday, right, with Sam Munson talking about how Rodgers has had more of an impact than Mahomes for the all-century team.
I think when you're talking, there's a difference between, like, who is better, who is more talented, who is, you know,
don't talented. Say talented. Don't say talented.
No, shut up.
Don't say talented.
there's a difference between like who has a greater degree of ability or ceiling or whatever, and who has had a greater impact over this century, which is 25 years old, but we're only going to count 5 years for one guy. Like Rodgers has had a greater impact on the 21st century NFL than Mahomes has, I would say.
Okay.
In part because he's played for the majority of it and had it, like he's been won a Super Bowl, you know, multiple time MVP as well. Like Mahomes had incredible impact already in just a few short years.
See, but I think it's
those few short years are so small compared with Rodgers.
I think it's fine to focus on a player's best 7 or 8 seasons as the main criteria, because then it's like, okay, just because Aaron Rodgers was born earlier, he's going to make the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how these things work. I mean, Larry Allen doesn't make the team because he was born 5 years too soon and half of his career happened in the 90s. Like that's just the reality of it.
So there you go. Sam Munson saying Aaron Rodgers deserves to be on the All-Century team more than Patrick Mahomes because he was born early.
He was born earlier. And so this is interesting because, you know, semi-pro football out of focus has been my bane of existence. Again, stats and analytics are justification for losing and failure. And so he wants to put that stuff out there about Aaron Rodgers being on the All-Century team over Patrick Mahomes. ESPN put out their All-Century team, quarter-century team, because we're 25 years already into this century, which is unbelievable. And they had Brady, Manning, and Mahomes as the three quarterbacks, and they had Breeze and Aaron Rodgers on the practice squad. And, I mean, if we're talking about the impact that somebody has had on the game of football, nobody has had a bigger impact on the overall game of football than Patrick Mahomes has had over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. And I totally disagree with the comment that Sam Munson of Semi-Pro Football Out of Focus said, Aaron Rodgers has had a greater impact on the NFL in the 21st century than Mahomes has. That's factually incorrect. How many people got an Aaron Rodgers haircut? First of all, how many people got an Aaron Rodgers haircut? I'd like to know the answer to that question. The answer is zero. Every kid in America wanted their hair to look like Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes also has multiple titles. Aaron Rodgers barely has one. Let me talk about jersey sales here. Patrick Mahomes has been the number one jersey seller in the NFL for the better part of the last decade. Has Aaron Rodgers ever been the number one jersey seller in the National Football League? I don't know. He's so old they don't track it back that far. What kind of international growth has occurred with Patrick Mahomes? The Kansas City Chiefs are now the guinea pig for the NFL to play in every country in the world, to play on Tuesday nights, to play on Wednesday afternoons, to play on Thursdays, to play on Fridays, to, you know, to bring streaming partners in, to create more revenue for the National Football League from a national standpoint. And what quarterback has had more of an impact on popular culture? Patrick Mahomes has had a great positive impact on the NFL. Aaron Rodgers has had a major negative impact on the National Football League. He's chased fans away. He's caused divisiveness. He's gotten organizations fired. I mean, the stuff that this guy has done from an impact level has been a negative impact, and he hasn't really won on the field. Patrick Mahomes has done nothing but have a positive impact, grow revenues for the league, and have an amazing positive impact on the NFL, where he's made everybody around him better. Aaron Rodgers has people around him and they want to run away because he makes organizations worse when he's part of their organization. So don't come into my kitchen, Sam, and sit here and tell me that, quote, Aaron Rodgers has had a greater impact on the NFL in the 21st century than Patrick Mahomes has, because that is factually incorrect. If you said a negative impact on the NFL, you nailed it. But from a positive impact to grow the league, to make the league better, to be the premier player, Aaron Rodgers can't hold Patrick Mahomes' jockstrap when it comes to the impact that one guy has had versus the other on the NFL over the last 25 years.
I think the unfortunate part about the conversation that he gets at is that Rodgers is now, what, 20 years in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Rodgers, when he really started playing, was in 2008. And
top-selling jersey in 2011.
Yeah, and was the MVP, Super Bowl winner, had everybody like mesmerized. I mean, at the time I was telling my friends, this is the best quarterback I've ever seen. And that was for 10 years before Mahomes was in the league. And in those 10 years from 08, not 10 years, but yeah, I guess from 08 to 18 to when Patrick Mahomes started, you know, Rodgers essentially missed two seasons. He played a half a season in 2013. He played 7 games in 2017. You know, threw for less than 4,000 yards just twice. Let's see here. Three times. So I take that, and there's one Super Bowl in there, right?
Yep.
And then I take Mahomes's, you know, 8 years that he has. That's all we're given. Only seven as a starter. He's thrown for under 4,000 yards once. The interceptions, Rodgers has right now a career percentage-wise. He averages 1.4 interceptions, I think, per game is for his career, which is like an NFL like record. But whereas Mahomes is indicating that he could have an all-time record in the NFL is yards per game. He's trending in that as he is at 288.9 yards per game for his career. You look at their, you know, their projected 17-game total, seven seasons on Mahomes, so those numbers will drop a little bit throughout the years. But in 17 games, his career average is 4,900 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. Aaron Rodgers in a 17-game average is 4,300, 34, and 8. So I don't know if that's eventually where Mahomes lands, but I don't think 4,315 will be where he lands. I think Mahomes will end his career averaging about 4,500 yards a season, which is nuts, in my opinion. But to think that Aaron Rodgers would be more impactful for a, what, quarter-century team since 2000? I mean, when you think about the top three quarterbacks since 2000 to 2025, yes, Aaron Rodgers for about 7 years was the guy that had the talent that was doing the things that Mahomes is doing now. But when you look at what those years are for a quarter century, yes, you get to include the first 10 years that Aaron Rodgers was there that Mahomes wasn't. But you also have to include the other half where they are both there. And unfortunately, this is a matchup that we will never see one versus one unless somehow it's a playoff game this year. But the thing about it is, if you're going to recognize Aaron without Mahomes, you have to recognize Aaron with Patrick Mahomes. And with Patrick Mahomes, Mahomes has been to five Super Bowls. He's won three of them. He's never not played in the AFC Championship game, and he's won his division every year.
Mm-hmm.
None of that you can say about Aaron Rodgers, and I hate to be the guy that has to trump things, but in a year and a time and an era that we live in where rings and playoff wins are there, it ain't Rodgers, it's Mahomes. And that's not hate towards Rodgers. That's just logistically, statistically proven that Patrick Mahomes and the last, basically the half end of the quarter of the century, the last 10 years, he only has 7 years starting. He has been something that we haven't seen since the other two names that are on the list in Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Well, and the other thing too is Aaron Rodgers isn't a winner, and he's not a guy that really, as we've seen, makes organizations better. His last 2 years with the Jets are really going to have an impact on the way that he's viewed, because he went in there and became a, and showed, I should say, that he's a narcissist, and everything was about him. And meanwhile, all the collateral damage that he caused for so many people to lose their jobs because of the way that he went about his operation and the way that he went about his business, not showing up to mini camps and all this kind of stuff. Like, Aaron Rodgers is a big time detriment to a lot of people in the NFL. And I thought the text line pointed out something, because we're talking about a greater impact on the NFL, right? The stats beside themselves. I don't care what the stats are. Aaron Rodgers could wipe the floor with Patrick Mahomes from a stats standpoint. It doesn't matter to me. He's not having the impact. And the text line brings it up. How many kids do you know that have said to you, I want to grow up and be Aaron Rodgers
10 years ago?
I mean,
Patrick Mahomes. Were you really? You
had to grow a little bit taller. Middle school discount, double check. He's on all the State Farm commercials. Like, he had a big impact,
and
man.
He was doing the sidearm throws, and he is a winner, but he's not a winner when it matters, is I think the conversation, because Aaron Rodgers' playoff record is 11-10. Patrick Mahomes is 17-4.
I mean,
Patrick Mahomes is second all time in playoff victories.
Yeah, now he's got a lot to go, obviously.
35, but
it's nuts, but you know.
He's on pace.
Yeah.
I mean, he's halfway there, and he's only 7 years into his career.
Right.
And I don't think that's slowing down anytime soon, but Rodgers won in the regular season. Rodgers' big problem is he couldn't win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And he did win in the playoffs when he won the Super Bowl in 2011 or 2010, whatever it was. But they went 4-0, wild card team, the whole story. We remember that year. But after that Super Bowl win, he only won seven more playoff games in lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then in three of those years didn't win a playoff game. So I think when you look at impact, like Mahomes being 17-4 in his first 7 years in the league, yes, is an anomaly, but to be considered great, you have to do things that are considered anomalies.
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady winning seven Super Bowls, Peyton Manning changing the way that we see the game with five play calls in the huddle and picking one at the line of scrimmage and knowing how to win in the game and be a trailblazer. And then Patrick Mahomes coming into a league where, hey, quarterback talent's never been this good, and you're the best at it.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, I'm not taking anything away from him. For his first 7 years of his career, like Mahomes, it was him. He was the show. It was, this guy's never out of it. He's hitting Hail Mary passes to win games. He's falling on his side, hitting a window that you didn't think was open. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers was there. But when you have to add the first half of his career and then add in Mahomes, Mahomes is absolutely way over the top of what he's ever done.
And from a financial standpoint as well, too, TV networks are battling and fighting and changing their rules and adding streaming services, and the Chiefs are always the first ones that appear on this. TV networks will fight over the Kansas City Chiefs. They were not fighting over the Green Bay Packers. They were not that draw that the Kansas City Chiefs are. And I don't want to hear Green Bay's a small market. Market size doesn't matter in the NFL, okay? It has no impact on anything in the National Football League from a TV standpoint. All these TV networks and streaming services are coming on board, are saying, we will come on board and do this if you give us Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Ask Peacock about the playoff game. Ask Netflix about Christmas Day. Ask Amazon Prime, as we were the first team to be showcased on that. Ask NBC Sunday Night Football. All these networks, they want Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's an impact that you're having on the league. You know, putting up numbers is great, but having that impact, having that legacy, changing what this league is all about, Patrick Mahomes, man, he's number one on that list.
Because somebody asked me on the text line, so Dustin, that's fun. You're telling me you're telling your friends that Rodgers was a better quarterback than Brady or Peyton Manning. Talented-wise, yes. What Rodgers could do, those two could never do. And that's a fact.
Yeah, he was the most skilled quarterback of all time until Patrick Mahomes.
He was what I would consider like a five-tool baseball player. He was a five-tool quarterback. He was mobile. He was had the arm. He had the brains. He could drive. He could clock management. He had all the tools that a quarterback has. Tom Brady, very, very talented. Not a very mobile quarterback. Peyton Manning, very talented. Not very mobile. What made Aaron Rodgers was the improvisation that he could do, and now we have seen the best improvisational quarterback that is Patrick Mahomes. So yes, yeah. At the time when Rodgers was in the league, he was more talented than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, 100%.
But wasn't a better winner than Tom Brady.
No one has been,
and nobody is right now. Patrick Mahomes is the only guy that can even get close to Tom Brady when you're talking about who is a winner. And so Aaron Rodgers, very, very, he's like Alex Rodriguez, the other A-Rod, right? Like really, really talented, really, really good. Total loser when it matters most.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I just always wanted to see Mahomes versus Rodgers, but we can dive into that a bit later. But, Mac, go ahead and dive into your thing.
One word.
First name is Blake, and he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No. Ah!
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three. Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
Well, we've got more stuff from Rodgers, but Bob, you mentioned Brady and how Mahomes is the only one even on that sort of echelon, on that sort of track to maybe passing him. Well, let's listen to Brady. I think he agrees.
Who do you feel has the biggest opportunity in today's game to possibly duplicate a version of history? Like, do you feel...
Oh, Patrick.
Patrick. Yeah. Like Patrick, sure.
Well, I just think Patrick, A, I love his mentality. And he's a guy that I see so... The great players that I play with, Patrick has their mentality.
Okay.
He has a will to win. He's got a desire every time he takes the field to be a great leader. And even more than his physical skill, what I always do with the guys, I listen to what they say all the time. I listen to what they say after they win. I listen to what they say after they lose. I listen to how they communicate to their teammates and stuff. So it's just everything he says is the right thing. It's like, I think, okay, how would I answer that? And then he answers it in a very similar way. And that's what I really appreciate, because I know he's really connected with his teammates. So he's got a great organization, and he's got a great coach, great general manager, great ownership, and they've got the parts around him. So I think he still has the best
chance. I like that.
Succeed.
Correct is my word.
Yeah.
Correct. Everything that he said there is why Patrick Mahomes had a bigger impact than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is win at all costs, play at all costs, go out there, fight through, battle. Like, that's the guy you want on your team. Hell yeah, Tom Brady, let's go.
I thought that was very informative And the best part about it was when he would ask him questions, and then he said he'd answer them the same way that I would.
I would.
Yeah. Like that. Like people asked me about how Shedeur Sanders fell, and I said a lot of people said what the response was that they give him the situational setting, and he would be like, yeah, I'll go here. And like, nah, dude, that safety moves up. That'd be an interception. They'd ask him again, be like, nope, he's over here. You need to be clock's going to run out. Whereas like when Mahomes was asked those questions, like, all right, you know, it's Nagster and it's Reedster and they're all in the room. And they're like, all right, what would you hear? And like Mahomes answers it. And all of a sudden they look over each other like, okay, this guy has got it. So it was informative that Tom Brady would say that. Mm-hmm. Plus Tom's smart. Yep. Like he knows what there is. He knows his rings are probably safe, I would think. But he knows that Mahomes is that dude that, you know, does things a little bit better than he did. And if he had the other skills that Mahomes did, God knows what we'd have seen with Tom Brady even more so.
I mean, it's nice to finally see somebody this offseason not think Mahomes is the worst quarterback in the NFL, like a lot of people are trying to say, like he's fallen off and all this kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. Tom Brady's like, no, Patrick's still the guy. Losses happen in your career. You're not going to win everyone, right?
And Brady's got Mahomes by the throat, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you'll never beat me. I beat you twice in the playoffs.
Yep.
Once in the Super Bowl, once at your house, the NFC Championship.
Right. Scoreboard, man.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
Tom Brady has scoreboard over everybody in the National Football League from here to eternity because nobody's ever going to beat Tom Brady in
It's kind of like the same discussion Jordan and Kobe had. Like, Kobe was great and an amazing basketball player, but Jordan always used to be like, yeah, good luck, man. You know, you look up there, check it out.
It's Jordan and LeBron is what it is.
And then Eli walks through the door and Tom's like, son of a gun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Twice!
One word Aaron Rodgers said, this is probably his last season. He also said you won't see much of him when he's retired, even though he just tried to become a game show host like 2 days ago. But one word on Aaron Rodgers, this probably being his last year.
Laughable. laughable to the point of you won't hear from him after retirement, because you're right. Like, he was auditioning to be the host of Jeopardy while he was still playing.
Just had a documentary out about it.
Again, Aaron Rodgers is narcissistic. Narcissistic people always need to be in the spotlight and make it about them. So something will happen and Aaron Rodgers will insert himself into the story. I love the fact that I think it's TMZ, Page Six, whoever now, has gone to every state marriage records and they can't find a marriage license for this guy, too.
Love it.
Predictable?
Yep.
Isn't that why Terry Bradshaw was pissed at the Steelers convention where he told him to eat bark?
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to do all this for a guy who's going to play 1 year? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to be here after this. Like, why would you go through all this trouble for a guy that's just going to have one last ride? And then, of course, you know, I mean, I'd have been more shocked if his wife joined the show instead of him saying he'd have had a year left on his contract or in his career. By the way, have we seen her yet?
No.
Okay.
She may not exist. OKC had their parade last night for their championship, yesterday morning, really, for their first championship in franchise history. Aaron Wiggins, who is a great role player, came up clutch for them multiple times, had a pretty hype speech. I want you guys to listen to it and give your one word on it.
I came in as the 55th pick in the 2021 draft. In my rookie season, we won 24 games. 24 games. But the best part about coming from that year is that the same people in this arena today celebrating this championship were the same people there when we were winning 24 games. It was the point where they tried to call us the black hole of the NBA. Boo! But 4 years later, when they mentioned the Thunder organization, when they mentioned Clay Bennett, when they mentioned Sam Presti, when they mentioned Mark Dagnall, and every single one of you in this arena, they gotta mention you as NBA champs.
Yeah,
right. And that's it.
That was Aaron Wiggins.
Andrew's brother?
Yeah, is that Andrew's brother?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But that was Aaron Wiggins, man. Pretty cool.
One word for him, for that, Gomes.
Donnie, go! Donnie, go! Donnie, go!
Donnie, go! Yeah, it was, I mean, you got to have that guy, right?
Yeah.
Hype, I think, would be the one word. I mean, it wasn't Chet Holmgren. Let me lock in. Poor guy. kind of fumble when he was going to try to give the...
did he stand on top of the bus? How big that bus was with him on top?
It's unbelievable what those boys did.
Yeah, it was... you got to have the hype guy. You got to have the guy that gets the whole crowd shook up. Yeah. I mean, there was like 8,000 people at that parade yesterday. I don't blame him, man. 106 degrees in Oklahoma City on a Tuesday afternoon. I'll watch on TV. I hate large crowds. But, like Max said, if that was a KC team that had been here for 20 years and won a title, yeah, we'd all be there shirtless and sunburned.
Heck yeah. No, there was a good crowd there yesterday, depending on what's you know, where they were showing the cameras. I saw big, massive crowds. I saw some smaller ones and certain parts of the parade route as well. But, you know, it's also a small town, guys. Like, they don't have a million people living down there. There may be 400,000 people in that city, 500,000 people in that city. If they were all at the parade yesterday, then everybody showed up.
Yeah, it's awesome. Good.
It's unbelievable what those boys did.
Savannah
Bananas. It's unbelievable what they did.
No doubt about it. Johnny Gomes, I remember that one. Good Lord, did he steal the show. Coming up on the other side, how the Chiefs season will end. We'll ask you. We'll get to the numbers of what the gamblers are saying as well. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5.
Not a lot of things will be on the top of my list of cringe because I'm just a weirdo. But I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Skip Bayless and his wife sat on it. You did, okay.
I didn't watch it. I saw it, and there was something creepy I felt like, and I'm like, pass.
Exactly. Skip Bayless and his wife sat on a couch in their living room while their dog, a poodle, sat on their lap as they discussed their hall passes and named the celebrities they'd let slide.
That's what it was, yeah.
I mean, Can we figure out who Skip? Stop playing Skip. Can we figure out who his slides were? Because if he doesn't say people like Celine Dion, not Selena Gomez, that'd be weird. Salma Hayek, you know, people like that. Jane Seymour, those are three of mine. But like
Jane Seymour,
what?
Really?
Yes,
that's just a weird, odd one.
Kitty
yeah.
Cat from Wedding Crashers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Wow.
Dr.
Right.
Quinn, Medicine
Woman.
Yeah. Ah, my arm, it's broken.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that was just like that's a sticker shock one for me. Jane Seymour. I'm like, well, I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, I take her to Green Lady Lounge and bring her back to downtown Lee Summit.
All right, I just wasn't expecting
Google
that.
Google search
one.
Her. Look, she's beautiful. Celine Dion, that too. Martha Stewart, sign them up, man. Cougar Chow. That's Mac's nickname. I can't take that, but that was just something that was weird that I saw when it came to announcing that on a couch.
Yeah, that was weird.
Honey, who do you want to sleep with that's a celebrity? All right, where do I start?
My wife and I have absolutely had those conversations.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure you guys have had those conversations. They're fun conversations to have, right?
Yeah.
And of course, my answer is, Jen, there's nobody else for me
other
than you.
All right,
B. Arthur.
Yeah.
I just want to win, Jen. You know, so any close to widow that has a will, I'm interested in, you know.
And that's when Bob's like trying to be the nice guy out, play it right, and then Jen comes back, she's like, all right, so Travis Kelce.
Right. Travis Kevin Kelce, Bacon. Shamar Moore, and you know, whoever else is on the list.
Kurt Nelson.
Yeah, Kurt Nelson. No, Kurt Nelson is. Yeah, he's gotta take over if I ever go away. He's the new dad.
Guy.
Yeah.
All right. Win, Jen.
I can't find the list. I was trying to find.
You don't need to. Don't ruin your life. God forbid who he'd say. But
Skip Bayless, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Nobody watched that, did they, to find out who was on the list? Because I saw the headline. I'm like, nope.
The first comment I saw was like, wait, why did I watch this whole video? Exactly.
Yeah.
Why did you do that to yourself?
Yeah. Hey, kudos to his wife, though, for having some fun with it. I'll give her that.
We got some help on the text line. Skip's number one was Laura Ingalls Wilder from Little House on the Prairie. Well done.
That is really good. I like that.
Somebody says Dusty sounds a lot younger than his taste in girls. I just, you know.
But that's why I was like Dusty likes like 20-year-olds, and then he goes Jane Seymour. That's my wheelhouse.
My number ones. I was just comparing where Skip should be in life as opposed to women. I was like, these women are also still like, what's her name? Stifler's mom?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
100%. She's 61.
Yeah, what is her name?
Coolidge?
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah.
We should know because she says it in every commercial.
Yeah, she does.
Because nobody knows who she is other than Stifler's mother. When you're on a TV commercial, people can see, like, you don't see Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes say, hi, I'm Andy Reid. Hi, I'm Patrick Mahomes, right? But nobody knows who she is other than Stifler's mom. So she has to get out with White Lotus, obviously. But she has to go out there and say, hi, I'm Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, my top three would probably be like Harley Quinn or a.k.a. Margot Robbie, Kay Adams, Paige Spiranek. That's like, you know, now we're in
right.
My,
and then
my,
you came out there with Jane Seymour. That's why I threw
she's
me.
Hot, man.
Robbie is Harley Quinn or in Wolf Wall Street?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Sure, dude.
Yes.
Like, Wolf of Wall Street's what won me over. But yeah, I mean, that's just where we're at. But there are odds out there for the Kansas City Chiefs season. How will it end? To miss the playoffs is plus 300. To lose in the divisional round is plus 325. Same as the wild card round. Losing the conference championship would be plus 575 mm-hmm. to win the Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs right now, plus 700.
Mm-hmm.
To lose in the Super Bowl, plus 950. Man, I don't like these odds. I don't like doing like the will they miss it or will they make it? Will they lose in this round, poor this round? I mean, I think history would tell you take them all the way to win the AFC, right?
Yeah, I mean, you do. Yeah, you take them to get to the Super Bowl every single year if you're the Chiefs. I like how it's 3-1, though, to miss the playoffs. Like, you could win some money on that, right?
Yeah.
Because chances are they're probably not going to miss the postseason in this one. But I think the smart bet is to win the Super Bowl at plus 700, 7-1. I don't think there is a reason. And people can say what they want about where they feel the offensive line may be and some of the things that are out there right now, you know, with the team that you may not feel 100% about. But I'll tell you this right now. As long as Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are teaming up every year, I'm going to bet this team to win the Super Bowl until I'm told otherwise, right? Because every year since they've been together, they've done nothing but reach the AFC championship game and make a run at a championship. And so I think that's the smart bet in all of this is to win the Super Bowl at plus 700. That's at 7-1. What do you guys think about that one? Is that the best feeling bet for you guys?
I mean, to win the Super Bowl, yeah, I mean, that's good odds. Obviously, it gives you a lot to cheer about throughout the entire year. I don't know, man. I mean, what are they to win the AFC? Like probably like plus 550 or something like that. Because probably them, Baltimore, Buffalo, I would think are the top three teams.
I bet the Chiefs are third because to win the Super Bowl, they're third.
Behind Buffalo.
Yeah, they're the two favorites.
Yeah, Philadelphia's not even ahead of them
anymore. They're
tied, right?
tied
with the Eagles.
Yeah, tied with the Eagles. Yeah. Yep.
They don't even have the best team on Madden.
Right. Plus 950 to lose in the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, I would honestly, I mean, I agree with you, Bob. If I'm betting on just one,
I would hedge that.
I would win the Super Bowl.
I would pick them to win, pick them to lose.
Pick them to win, pick them
exactly.
to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I bet on all three of these. Lose in conference championship, win Super Bowl, lose Super Bowl.
Okay.
You bet on all three of those, no matter what, you'll make money. Because one of those is going to happen.
Yeah.
One of the three of those, right?
Yeah, one of those three should happen. I mean, obviously, with what they've shown us over
exactly.
the last decade,
so,
right?
According to DraftKings, Philadelphia, Buffalo, Baltimore, all three tied as the favorite to win the Super Bowl at plus 650. Chiefs are plus 800. Division winner, we don't want that. We want conference winner. Loading. Buffalo, Baltimore are the top two at plus 330. The Chiefs are at plus 400 to win the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Money there, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, throw 20, win 80.
Yeah,
right?
Like that. Yeah, I like that at 4-1 to win the AFC. I mean, what is Buffalo and Baltimore proven? And I look, I understand how the betting lines work. They're trying to get money, you know, from all sides so they end up not losing their shirt by everybody loading up on one team. But if you're looking at it from a football standpoint, what tells you right now that Buffalo and Baltimore should be considered a team to win the AFC before the Chiefs? Like, what out there is telling you, other than you're tired of the Chiefs and the Chiefs fatigue, which I did see some people talking about, and that is legit. I think in any sport, you know, you get Duke fatigue, you get Yankee fatigue, you get Chiefs fatigue. We had Patriot fatigue, you know, for all those years. And so I think when you get into that type of situation, you know, people do get that fatigue, and maybe that's why they want to pick these other teams, or they just feel like it's time for somebody else to go out there and win.
Right.
But until the Chiefs prove it that they're not that team to go out there and win, I just don't see how they're not the favorite every single year to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
Yeah, Buffalo has the best odds to win their division at minus 260, obviously. The Ravens, 145, minus 145. Chiefs, minus 120 to win the AFC West. I thought it was interesting if you look at the AFC, because what the NFL is basically telling us is that it is another year of Chiefs, Ravens, and Bills,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that seems to be the window of the AFC, because after the Chiefs at plus 400 to win the AFC championship game, Bengals at 950, plus 950. And then it's the Chargers and the Broncos at plus 1,200.
Yeah.
And before the Aaron Rodgers signing, the Steelers were at plus 1,900 to win the AFC Championship game. After Aaron Rodgers was signed, they're plus 1,900.
Yeah, to the exact same, yeah.
It's today.
Because I think they were factoring in those odds all along with Aaron Rodgers being there as the quarterback of this team. But, you know, Buffalo hasn't proven that they can win when it matters most. Baltimore still hasn't proven that they can win when it matters most. And there's something to be said for that. I mean, we can relate it back to the Royals here for a second. You know, playoff football is like hitting with runners in scoring position. Until you prove that you can do it, you can't. And that's kind of where I am with the Royals. Until they can prove that they can hit with runners on base, they can't. And until Buffalo and Baltimore prove that they can win those big time moments, those big time games, and knock off the Chiefs, they can't. And so you can't come in here and say, well, it's their time, it's their turn. Based on what? You know, people don't. There's not a sign up sheet. No. Okay, 2027, White Sox win the World Series, Chiefs get this in 2018. It doesn't work that way, right? Like, that's not something that works, and that's not how you do it. So, like, just don't tell me that they're ready and it's their turn. And for the Cincinnati apologists, you know, those folks out there that think that's a good team, who's playing defense for them? Is Trey Hendrickson signed yet? Do we know?
Let me ask you this here, guys, on the Chiefs' regular season wins. What do you feel more comfortable putting $50 on? Seriously, okay. $50. Over 11.5 wins at plus 100 or over 13.5 at plus 370?
Oh, well, over the 11.5, obviously. Who you feel more comfortable? It's easier to attain that. Yeah. But, I mean, I would throw the 50 on plus, you know, the 13 because that's a better number, obviously, better return on investment. And I think, you know, 17-0, so... You know, but the better, I mean, obviously, if you want to ensure yourself that you're going to get something in return, 11.5, I would take.
Yeah, because, I mean, winning under 12 games for the Chiefs, that's rare.
Yeah, and that was 17 games. And,
yes,
you know,
especially
so,
with that, exactly. Yeah. And with the fact that it's a tight division. There's not going to be many games where the Chiefs can take off. A Week 18 game may even matter this season.
It may.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection.
And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It may matter this season. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Or it may not.
Or it may not at all.
If they run the table and do what we're expecting them to do, then you're 16-0 going into that final week of the season. Well, then you do play your guys. It may matter from that standpoint.
I'm going down a dangerous rabbit hole on DraftKings right now because now I've seen player to have 4,500 or more passing yards in the regular season. Patrick Mahomes plus 350. You said it's the best wide receiver he's had?
Plus 350.
Plus 350.
Hammer that
4,500?
Do it.
I would hammer
that's
that
your 50
one.
Bucks.
Yeah.
That's right? Your 50
that's
bucks.
That's your $50 bet?
Yeah, there it is.
Did we just come up with a new bet?
We got more of it coming in Mac's Chiefs question. We'll talk division odds and Super Bowl odds.
Look
so.
At this guy.
Look at you.
Side. It's not Mac Morey. It's Jay Billis and how he nailed it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection.
And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.